honor a man who's been forgotten. He's buried in an unmarked grave. We're trying to locate that. I am working with a retired FBI agent of 30 years, a engineer in Lakewood, Colorado, with a company called Geoforensics that finds graves for the FBI and the Department of Defense, and with the Forensic Anthropology Department of the University of Tennessee. And we want to find that grave. We want to analyze his remains to see if they tell us how he was killed or yield a clue about the identity of the murderer. And we want to permanently mark that grave and honor this man who, other than being mentioned by Roy Wilkins at Medgar Evers' funeral, has just been a completely forgotten hero of the Civil Rights Movement. Professor Patricia Sullivan at the University of South Carolina, she teaches history there, wrote a history called Lift Every Voice, the NAACP and the Making of the Civil Rights Movement. And in that 450-page or so book, she devotes 6 pages to Elbert Williams and says that he was the first NAACP official in the nation killed for his civil rights activities. So I think that is a major point of American history that needs to be remembered.
The men who took Elbert Williams, what became of them?
There were 3 of them. One was a Brownsville policeman by the name of Tip Hunter. He had been sheriff of Haywood County. He was sheriff of Haywood County several terms later, and he and his brother Jack essentially controlled the sheriff's office in that county from around 1928 to 1966. He was the leader of the 3 who went and got Elbert Williams, and he was the FBI's chief suspect in the murder. The second policeman was a man by the name of Charles Reed. And the third person was a civilian by the name of Ed Lee. Ed Lee was the manager of the Coca-Cola bottling company in Brownsville and a former president of the Brownsville Chamber of Commerce. In my opinion, his presence lends support to the theory or fact that this was an organized, planned effort that involved the most wealthy and most powerful political men in that county. There's a lot more to the story. There was another kidnapping of a gentleman by the name of Elisha Davis, and he led the 5 who attempted to register to vote. His fate was sealed within hours after Buster Walker left town. Walker got word that the mob was coming for him, and a friend of his put him in the back of a car and slipped him out of town. Elisha Davis was not that lucky. Elisha was at home at 1 a.m. on Sunday, June the 16th, Father's Day. Tip Hunter, Charles Reed, and a mob of about 50 white men across the business and agricultural spectrum of that county came for him. Reed and Hunter were in full police uniform on both occasions. They took him from his home. He had a wife and 7 children there, in age from 13 to about 2. They took Elisha Davis down to a river swamp, the Hatchie River, surrounded him, threatened him with death, made him tell who the members of the NAACP were. Then they told him get out of this county right now or we will kill you. If you ever come back, we will kill you. And they meant it. And Elisha Davis was the operator of a service station there in Brownsville, and he recognized 13 of these white men and made an affidavit that the NAACP lawyers took to the Department of Justice, naming all 13 of those guys. The list is pretty impressive, and it's a very tight-knit group. But they all walked. Nobody was ever prosecuted. There may be, we don't know for sure, but there's still, it's possible that there is a man there in his 90s who participated in that, either in that kidnapping or in the murder. If they are, I want them brought to the bar of justice. And if they're not, I still want that investigated afresh by the FBI and the Department of Justice to establish the historical record of what happened. Nobody cared enough about that man to even try to determine his cause of death. The FBI was in Brownsville within 2 days after he was pulled out of the river, and they made no effort to exhume the body or have a post-mortem exam. They gathered no physical evidence. They gathered no documentary evidence. They took no photographs. They didn't go to crime scenes or potential crime scenes. They didn't interview many of the critical witnesses. The ones they did, they just asked them to give a statement. They took notes about it, didn't even record it, wrote that up into their report. There were no follow-up questions. There was no attempt to verify any of the information they were given. They didn't want to know who killed Albert Williams because they had a suspect in mind, and it was Tip Hunter, the policeman who by the time the investigation got much underway was back in the sheriff's office. I think 75 years is long enough to wait. The Department of Justice is going to have to close every door from Memphis to Washington, and I don't think that they will. I have hope that they are going to do the right thing. I truly believe they will reopen this case.
It is really quite a story. You are definitely making Albert Williams known.
I want to. He should be. He ranks right up there in the pantheon with people like Medgar Evers or Harry Moore. Harry Moore was an NAACP official, an organizer in Florida, and in 1951, Christmas Eve, men planted a bomb beneath his bedroom floor and blew him and his wife to bits. Gilbert King writes about that in Devil in the Grove, his Pulitzer Prize winner from 2013. And he also opened that book, interestingly, with a chapter about Thurgood Marshall's defense of the African-American men charged in a race war in Columbia, Tennessee in 1946. So this man is an American patriot. He's an American hero, and the least we can do for him is get his name where it should be in the history books and get the Department of Justice to complete the investigation it started in 1940. And that's my goal.